And where the Missouri meets the Mississippi, where the water's rising, breaching levees, drowning crops, and threatening homes. People have been pitching in all day, filling sandbags, trying to fight back, but it may not be enough, and the weather could make things even worse over the next few days. Martin Savage joins us now from the flood zone north of St. Louis. Martin, I understand authorities are bracing themselves for another breach.
Yeah, Anderson, this is just outside of West Alton. This area has literally been all day long kind of the focus of a battle with the floodwaters here. They've had two breaches in the last 24 hours. Now the fear is for a third breach, and this one could be the most serious of all. The Mississippi River is just beyond here. You might see that smokestack in the background there. If it gives way, and there is real fear, there's a slide occurring on one of the levees there. If that happens, all that water is going to come right this way. 94 here, this state highway. It is the main way out. They have to keep this roadway open because for a lot of people, it's going to be the way they get out of the water's way. They're erecting right now a stone kind of levee very quickly to try to prevent that from happening. In essence, it's going to be a watery Alamo. They have to hold it here. If they don't, they'll be in serious trouble. That power plant would be in trouble as well, Anderson.
Are conditions, they're supposed to get worse before they get better in West Alton?
Yeah, because the next thing is going to happen is even though the water is going down, the weather is going to move in. Tomorrow, more rain is anticipated. What's going to be crucial is how much rain, where will that rain fall, especially to the north, and is there going to be wind as well? Because, you see, the water is at the top of a lot of these levees. If you get the wind, if you get the wave action, it's going to have more of a kind of a corrosive effect. It will erode even more and weaken the structures that right now are already showing signs of weakness. So it is really going to be a time when people are going to watch the water and watch the sky.
A mystery related to the Boston Marathon bombings. Now, in the last 24 hours, we've been trying to find the hero who Erica Brannick says so desperately helped save her life. We told you about Erica last night. She left Boston's Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center yesterday, the last of the Boston Marathon bombing victims to go home. She had 11 surgeries. She still has a long recovery ahead. Randy Kay spent the day with Erica yesterday, and in a report last night, she described what happened to Erica in those critical minutes right after the bombs went off, and a Good Samaritan appeared at her side. Listen.
Erica was also screaming for help. The lower part of her left leg had been blown off, and her right leg was broken.
And I had a conversation in my head with God, and I told him I wasn't ready to go. And it was almost instantaneously, she had heard my thoughts. This woman kind of crawled over to me and she grabbed my hand and she had heard me screaming for help. And she said, my name is Joan from California and I'm not going to let you go. And she stayed with me the whole time.
Joan used her belt as a tourniquet on Erica's leg. Erica never got Joan's last name or contact, but swears the woman in the yellow jacket with brown hair saved her life. She desperately wants to find her and thank her.
Yeah, that's her.
We showed her a picture of Joan helping her from the Boston Globe.
That's Joan right there. And then she's holding my hand right there. And then this is my right leg.